settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
And I'm Mick Avery. Hello.
We're mediums, healers and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education, and on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence, direct from the other side. And on today's show, we'll be discussing recompense and reconciliation. And if you'd like to join us, the phone lines will be open. And the number to call is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227.
Each week, live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. If you would like to know more about us, our books or our work, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And then without further ado, I'll hand you back to Sylvie and prepare to go into trance. So have a great show then.
Thanks, Mick. Hi. Gregory is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group. They consist of scientific minds of all descriptions, along with ordinary people. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may possibly move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, hopefully to understand the nature of our existence and maybe save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. Our method of spirit contact is a very pure and precise method of spirit communication, because apart from the fact that we have been doing this for many years, Mick spent a long time developing his gift of deep trance to a very high standard before we even went public with it. The development is really very important. His spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. This means that there is no room for errors because interpretation of his mind doesn't come into it. So once again, if you have a question for Gregory regarding our show topic, the number to call is 877-876-5227. And tonight, we're talking about recompense and reconciliation. And hello, Gregory.
Hello, dear friends.
Hi.
Hello, dear friends. Once again, then, it is with the absolute love, as always, that I bring that I am the energy of Gregory Hay of the White Cloud Group. I am sincere. I am not apologetic, for the views I have are factual basis and analysis, not tethered to religious indoctrination, even though I was of Roman Catholic faith when I walked the earth in 1723. And I am so pleasured and honored to be able to speak at this present time in this way.
We're honored to have you.
And I thank you so much for bringing this situation to a suitable advantage for those in the spirit world and for all of those in the spirit world who may work through this kind of media. We thank those in particular who bring about this interface that we are able to utilize for the benefit of all, not for our own personal gripe or grievance, but for all to share in the commonality, that is, the nature of humanity and its uprising and well-being upon the planet's surface, and how you may eventually attain true enlightenment for the understanding you may reach.
Hmm. So recompense and reconciliation. So what's that? Compensation and resolution?
It is basically what you face, what you have to deal with when you come to our side of life. Everyone has to. Everyone is faced with the resolutions of judgment that they have made in physical life. Recompense is what you have to pay back, if you like, what you have to give back to those whom you have offended during your physical life. Now, many people may think that perhaps because no one was a witness to certain actions that they created in physical life of ill being or harm in whatever way that was, that they are simply going to get away with it. It won't do. It simply won't do. Every being has recorded within itself exactly what they have done in any event. That is a part of your consciousness. It forms a part of your epitaph of life. It is written in your Akashic book, that which is pertaining to you, whomever you may be. Whatever that accent you have brought about in your physical life is recorded in black and white because it is part of your conscious memory. And in case you forget, it is also a part of the conscious memory of your doorkeeper, the spirit guide who walks with you every step you take. Every failing that you make is noted, and every positive will you create in your life for the benefit of others, in whatever shape of well-being that may be, is also something which is noted. So it is not just the negative situations. It is everything that is depicted in your life. All of the reasoning that you have brought about within it helps to shape the absolute resolution of your soul. That is, after all, your onward journey ticket, if you like. It is the way in which you will be able to unify your conscious higher state with your spirit and allow you access to further journeys in the spirit world, perhaps to do with other planes of existence, perhaps to do with other dimensions. If your soul has been belittled by your lack of emotional force, or perhaps you have been a surrogate of your will, perhaps you have allowed others to use it, even, to their advantage and not to yours. Perhaps you have cursed yourself because of your behavior and the way you react to others. All of this will be a part of your soul, of course, will form a portion of it, and occupy whether that has well-being or not, therefore allowing you access to these other realms. If you, as a being, then cause distress to others, you have diminished your soul's respect. You have diminished the ability of self to continue to create in the spirit world. This isn't something that is forever, you understand. Recompense is about making restitution to those you have offended, either in the physical state or in the spirit world. This means, then, that it is a situation you have to bring about a form of restitution to those ancestors, perhaps, of those whom you have offended. Perhaps it is a specific race. It may be to do with perhaps a race of beings that you have caused problems to, or that you have created great harm. Perhaps you are, and I dare say this will offend a lot of people, perhaps you are a hunter of animals, that you kill animals not for meat, not for your survival, but for your pleasure, in which case you will actually have a great deal to face when you come to our side of life.
Yes, I think that might, that might rub a few people up the wrong way. But, yeah, absolutely. Well, this is what it's all about.
As I said, my dear friend, our whole portent in this, our whole guidance within this aspect of ourselves, why we are here, why the white cloud group exists at all, is purely through factual basis. We are not of a whim of one religious aspect or other. We do not care two hoots whether someone believes in some aspect of religion or whatever, because it is not, does not really have a bearing in reality. Religion is only there for you to succeed in the process of leveling your, how can I say this, leveling your harmful instinct to one another. That is something which is forced because of your lack of poor judgment or your lack of ability to see greater insights than that which you view, in which case you are of a lower mind, and those of lower mind will hunt, will shoot for pleasure, will kill things because they are seeking pleasure from that zone of negativity of their will. Now, so, I will not dwell on that any longer. What I am saying is that, absolutely so, this is a point of recompense and reconciliation that you as a being, if you have that form of behavior, will have to create for the benefit of that particular species or any number of species you have offended. This is exactly the same for those who create harmful abuse toward animals or other beings. Perhaps it is toward human beings. In that case, respect has to be gained and earned as you as a being, which means you will have to attain and attune yourself, perhaps with the help of others who have done similar things, because obviously this was something created in your ignorance and in physical life. Then it means that you will have to have help to do this, to circumnavigate your way through the description you have brought about upon others. This failure in yourself to engage within the possibility of enlightenment means, of course, not only is it a failure cast upon your religious aspect, in other words, you will never attain enlightenment so long as you commit that behavior. It means that you, of course, will be further away from the aspect of soul you wish to really create or be. That is, the upper house of harmony, the purity sea, of which you are actually a part. Therefore, you cannot be a part of the purity sea. It means you are further away from it, washed upon the shoreline, and unable to immerse yourself back within the folds of love of the soul group from which you have come, purely because you have created that disgrace within you.
How does one make up for doing that to animals, to the animal kingdom, in the spirit world, into the animal soul groups, then, shall we say?
An interesting point, my dear friend. What actually happens is that you have to become a part of the force, if you like, in the spirit world, of beings who help, who have to help other beings in the same predicament, other beings who have created the same force. In other words, you have to actually pay recompense by helping others to overcome their own ignorance and their own fatigue of mind, their own poor standing, and their own poverty of upliftment. So it means that what actually happens is that you have to do certain things in order to help that species recover itself in the spirit world. You may well have to help and come to the aid of those whom you have harmed personally. For example, you will be greeted by all of those you have slaughtered, perhaps, if you are one of that inclination.
Mm-hmm.
It means, quite simply, that you will have to beg for their forgiveness. and that it will be only at their behest as to whether you are forgiven at all. Now, that is exactly the same if someone hasn't been all that bad, but they have still created ill beings or wrongful thoughts or whatever. There is still a case of recompense and reconciliation to make in that event. You will still have to overcome these hurdles in order for you to move on, for you to become more spiritually uplifted. How else are you going to be able to recover your path? Your spiritual gifts will continue to be wrapped and be away from your sight, will be away from your mind's eye, away from your consciousness to be revealed to you. Therefore, you will not dwell in the island mists you so long to see.
Presumably, like, for instance, hunters, who are people who have hunted for recreation and sport all their life, and then they pass to the spirit world for whatever reason. When they do, presumably, they still wouldn't admit to that. So that wouldn't happen straight away, would it? Because they would still be of the same mind.
That is very true, my dear friend.
Now, we have a caller online.
Okay.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Gregory. I'll put them right on.
Hi, Gregory, Sylvie, Nick.
Hi.
Just want to say I love the show. It's great.
Yeah.
Hello,
I have a question for Gregory. Like if a hunter kills an animal even for fun, obviously one of the things that happens is a thing of cruelty. But on the other hand, he's promoting the gun business, so he's putting food on somebody's plate by using that gun, by using those bullets. He's, you know, helping the business, scaring away birds, is giving them exercise. How does one judge the value, the ethics of any experience? Because so much happens.
Yes, the problem is, my dear friend, that you are equating physical life with the well-being of only solely human beings. Is it not true to say that before guns existed, before any armaments actually existed, then would it be that, I suppose you could say, on the one hand, would it be better for human beings to have to hunt with their bare hands? And would that be just as willful or just as wrong? What I am saying is that it isn't if they're going to eat it, if they are doing so not for the pleasure it brings them, but to actually put food on the table just as it was designed for, just as that thought and that whole process of being was a part of the instinctive behavior of human identity. What I'm saying is it has become a relaxation, an enjoyment, a recreation for human beings to take the slaughter of animals, innocent lives, to their hearts and to have joy from it. I'm saying that is an illness. It matters not to me whether other beings create food on the table because they supply or make bullets, or that they actually supply or make the armaments in the first place. I am saying all of that is a disgrace to humanity.
Okay, that was kind of a harsh example, but Gregory, how about if you just like cut in front of somebody in line? And, you know, there again, you've kind of done them injustice because you're making them wait, but maybe on the other hand, you've created a breeze that cools them.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Pardon me?
Can you speak up a little bit? Because we're hardly hearing you.
Oh, okay. I'll try.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah, that was a bad example, maybe with the hunting.
Okay.
But what about something else that's less severe? There's so many different experiences that happen in any one experience that how do you, you know, just
come back,
say
come
this
back.
Is the essence of the experience.
Yes, I do understand, my dear friend. I am well aware that the whole process of humanity's walk upon the physical earth should not be designed around how humanity continues to strive against all other physical beings. It is not necessary. Humanity needs to learn to live in harmony. How else is humanity going to possibly attain well-being, and the state of enlightenment they so sorely seek. Isn't that why you are, as a race, in such a quagmire at this present time? Because you have sunk the vibration of intent into a low state of form, which means you have denied yourselves your ability to see wisdom, to see the benefit of the precious qualities of love that can be prevailed upon in physical form. And I'm not saying that that means that all people who hunt for joy will not experience love in their lives. I am saying that in spite of the fact of their behavior, they may still love. I am saying also that if they had changed their behavior, then the love experience they would have would be a thousandfold of what they experience now. Your well-being as a race on your side of life would be exalted in the universe instead of hated or instead of loathed by many other races from many other galaxies and many other universes who look upon you, who look upon all of us who have ever been physical beings, physical human beings of the earth. We are like an accursed race, if you will, because we do not seek the welfare of all, because we deny one another the purpose of their birthright to attain true enlightenment, true faith of trust and love, not through religion, but through their own, your own will. I am not saying this is a personal attack on any one being. I am saying if you really want to know the truth of what will happen to you when you pass to our side of life, I'm going to give it to you. And I have not a jot of sympathy with those who create ill-being states upon others through their worthless acts. It is selfish and denies other beings the right for life and peace and security.
Thank you.
Thank you so.
Thanks. Okay.
So, my friend.
Yes, so what I said was presumably these people that have hunted right up until I know we'll move on from hunting in a little while.
Yes, please do.
But if people have done that right up until the moment they pass, presumably they won't want to make recompense yet, and they won't be wanting to do that.
Yes, of course, and this is the point, really, that beings on your side of life have to realize that whatever state of consciousness you have in physical life, right up to the point of your passing, is what you will pass with. You won't suddenly get better. You won't suddenly improve yourself. You will have to have education. You will have to go to the halls of learning to study and understand how you can become better. If you do not wish to, that is your choice. It simply means you will be held back. You will hold yourself back through your own will. And that is the point that we are trying to make, really. Through recompense and reconciliation, what actually happens is that if you deny yourself the right for you to actually move forward in your life, you are actually denying your own self right to actually even retrieve the basic information of your life. Therefore, you will continue to be glued within the morass of morality that you have acquired in physical state. So, as I say, moving away from the torture of animals or whatever, what we are saying is that this is the sharp end of your behavior, perhaps. If we see it in another way, you could look upon the way that you behave toward others in your daily life. How is this behavior that you create going to bring about well-being for the state of how you are going to be in the future when you are in the spirit world? If you have an ugly mind, if you think in steps of negativity, if you think harmful thoughts toward others, those harmful thoughts through your karma you create will come straight back to you. Even though it may be something that you do not actually see at the time, what is happening is that it is lowering your vibration. Therefore, you will not ascend to that level of beautification, if you like, of your life. Therefore, you will be a lesser being than that which you could have been.
And if anybody would like to join us with a question related to our subject tonight, then do phone us. We'd love to hear from you. The number is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227.
Now, typically, for someone perhaps who has created great harm, and I know that we have said about this before, but for instance, those who guided the planes into the Twin Towers that took so many lives just a few short years ago.
Yes.
They were not greeted by the 72 virgins that they thought or that they were told they were going to see, that they were going to be playing with when they got to the spirit world. In fact, what happened to them was right at the point of their passing, when the flesh was ripped from their bodies, they saw the truth, that they were actually led into an abyss of the consciousness, which deluded the creation of their mind and their well-being into thinking they were going to receive something, when in fact they received the opposite. They did not receive 72 virgins or anyone. No one was there to greet them when they passed to our side of life. What actually happened was that they were held in stillness to observe the destruction they created. And if you like, that is where they still are. They are still observing it. They are not relishing it. It is in horror of their lives. That which they have created, they cannot undo until they bring recompense and reconciliation to those they have harmed. This is, in fact, a most painful process to those they have harmed. And also, of course, to the beings themselves. So do we say then that the teachers who have put them on this path, they too have to face recompense and reconciliation for all the harm that they have unleashed, for the twisted minds they have created in the shape of human form? They too, at the point of their passing, will also have to understand, will have to pay recompense to all of those they too have dealt the final blow in physical life and caused them to come rapidly to our side of life.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, you are looking at so many innocents, not only those who were the actual victims of the act itself, but also to those who actually created it, who were duped into doing it in the first instance. It was through their ignorance, and ignorance is not stupidity. Ignorance is purposefully ignoring the truth, the facts, purposefully denying their responsibility. That is true ignorance.
But it's not only the people, the immediate people that are afflicted by these tragedies.
Tragedies.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
But it's also relatives and loved ones and people that are affected by that as well, isn't it?
Yes, of course, and
still living.
Yes, quite so. And of course, it is also to all of those ancestors of those who have passed, and all of those living who are so grieved and who have passed. Yes?
Yes.
So that is a great number of people. It isn't just the 3,000 or however many it was whose lives were taken as a direct result. It was actually far more than that, that they will have to a recompense too. And this is something which is actually going to be most difficult, a route for them to take, for they have to not deny to any single being what they create, what they have created in their physical life. So it means they are going to be a very long time in making restitution to all of those they have offended.
And presumably, again, the people might themselves might not be ready to even...
accept it.
Yes, absolutely, to even go there.
Yes, quite so, absolutely. And of course, it isn't going to be in their time, not in the one who seeks to be... to make restitution, to make recompense. They have to wait until the victim or the relative of the victim is prepared to accept and to listen to their pleading.
So, yeah, so something that always I always think about, I think, because here we can actually say that we are forgiving somebody and that we can actually go through the motions without actually feeling forgiveness.
Yes,
we
quite
can,
so.
Yes, do you know what I mean?
I do understand.
It's a facade. Can that happen in the spirit world? Can they actually be going through the motions?
They cannot.
Of recompense, but they don't actually feel that? They can't?
No, absolutely not, because thoughts are living things, and they are actual upon the conscious state. So this means that because of the fact they are actually thinking in a certain way, they are actually perhaps having the thoughts within themselves about how they may bring a resolution to a certain situation. It is in fact not going to take place unless the forgiveness is true and not just perceived. And also likewise, because this will have a certain energy resonance to it, you see. And that is why in the spirit world you can tell quite simply when a person is lying, because they turn the color red. And that is how we can see that a person is not telling the truth. So you can imagine, just because of the fact that you try to deny something that has happened in your physical life, doesn't mean to say that you are ever going to overcome it unless you face the truth of your act of will.
Now, you were saying about the doorkeeper being a witness, which is something that not
yes.
a lot of people are going to be aware of, that this is going to be significant to them in their afterlife.
Well, yes, quite so. The point is, of course, that the doorkeeper travels with you to your passing and beyond it. Is there as the witness to your life as you make your recompense and reconciliation to those you have harmed. They are going to be there not as a bad onus upon you, but really there to try to guide you, to continue to try to show you how you may recover yourself in your journey. And of course it will be something that will actually be an actual event in the spirit world. You will see them, meet them, talk to them, whereas of course many people in the physical world never actually get to meet their guide, their doorkeeper. You may never ever have a sense of who your spirit guide, the one who is assigned to you, actually is. You may never meet them, may never know them. You understand?
Yes, but we will know them when the time comes. Would we know them without an introduction?
Yes, my friend, they will present themselves to you upon your passing.
Right. What about if you don't believe in that sort of thing?
It matters no at all. Nothing.
Okay.
It will still be something which will happen. It may be, of course, that you turn away from them as a spirit being, and they will still follow you. They will still be there at your every step. They will be there.
So, what, in the spirit world, they'll still be with you until you recognize them?
Indeed, so.
So they're just not then.
That is quite true.
It's quite a bit of a thankless job, but...
Well, yes, but again, you see, this is part of your path to enriching your own life. How else are you ever going to overcome the hurdles you have created in your physical state if you do not even recognize your spirit state or your higher conscious self? If all you do is continue to dwell in the facts and facets of your life that you created when you were having a physical life, and if that is all that you do in the spirit world, then that is all that you do. It simply means that your doorkeeper will have to wait until you actually change your mind.
And sorry, go on.
No, please do.
I was just going to say, and all this seems to be something that in our thoughts of time, I know you don't have time in the spirit world, but all this seems to be like it can take thousands of years in some cases.
Well, quite so. This is the point, really. It is always up to the individual. They are never harassed. They are never cajoled into bringing about a conclusion. It is always to do with the effect, the energy of the individual, and whether they themselves come to realize their true purpose. Once they do, it is actually quite a rapid recovery.
Once they get to a certain
yes.
state.
Yes, it isn't something that is dwelt upon for a long time. Although, of course, I understand the point of judgment that people have in physical life, and they think that because someone has done something extremely bad to someone else, that they have to be judged and have to be sentenced, they have to be cast into hell or whatever it is for the evil acts they have created. Believe me, when someone creates a painful act to someone else, or an evil thought, whatever that may be, what will happen is that because thoughts are living things, they continue to occupy a portion of the mind, a portion of the consciousness. They actually lower the vibration of the being on purpose, so that the thought itself actually tries to show the consciousness the error of its way, in which case the consciousness will then hopefully learn from that lesson, and some people will call it direct karma or instant karma. They will learn from that lesson, hopefully, and move on from it.
We have the same caller online has another question.
Okay.
I'll put them.
Can we have it a bit louder this time, or
sure.
If it's possible?
It's possible. I'll have it in one moment. Okay. Can everybody hear each other okay now?
I can't hear.
Oh, that was a bit louder, yes.
Oh, okay. Gregory, can I ask, what would you summarize as the five most important rules for attaining enlightenment?
Learn to love, learn to respect, learn to be, have more than faith, cast no ill judgment, and be mindful of your own act.
Okay.
be mindful of your own acts, because they will bite you. Not a lot of people know that.
For enlightenment.
For enlightenment, the whole purpose of enlightenment is to understand the art of being. If you do not understand that, if you cannot manipulate your consciousness to the art of being, you will fail to reach enlightenment. Enlightenment is not about ego. Unfortunately, many people assimilate enlightenment with ego, and in fact use the path of ascension to attain the form of enlightenment they see as true enlightenment, when in fact it isn't. Because, after all, if you feel you have attained something, you haven't really got there at all. If you proclaim you are enlightened, you are far removed from it. The true state of enlightenment is, first of all, understanding the ability to love yourself. That is not a selfish act. It is something which is simple, which occupies all aspects of everything you do. If you are a loving being within self, then you may grow love from within yourself toward others. If you cannot do this, you cannot learn to love, to truly love anything else. Identify with the world in which you live in a creative way. Understand your inner harmony is so important to the way you bring balance to your life. If you fail to live in balance, then you will not attain the harmony you seek. Therefore, you cannot ascend into the state of being or the state of is. If you truly wish for enlightenment, why is it that you wish it? You seek purity of state, purity of mind, of action in the physical world. Yet to many, this is a state denied them, purely by the aggressive mind. So seek a peaceful resolution in your life. Seek a pathway which does not offend or bring harm to others. Therefore, you will possibly attain enlightenment. If you are talking in terms of love or loving awareness, what is the boundary of love? What is the boundary of your self-state, of your consciousness? How can you, as a being, accept something without yourself being involved and call it or identify it in the true manner of its existence? Surely, what you are doing is you are casting a judgment upon it by relating how that being affects you in the nature of its walk. If someone brings you physical harm, do you repel them with violence? Of course, because you rely upon instinct and survival to help you to overcome adversarial conditions. That is a point of how you as a physical being lives and reacts in your environment. It is not a shameful thing to protect yourself. But it is better to create well-being from the disadvantage that negativity from someone else brings to you. Therefore, I ask you to turn it upon its head. If someone comes to you with a negative creation, send it back to them, and they will learn how it feels. If you can, try to understand where they are coming from. They may be ill, and that is why they are negative toward you. Do not hold conscious decisions of judgment in a negative way toward beings whom you will only meet once. Perhaps this may be a being who takes your life. Am I saying then that you should hold that being forever responsible, or that you should learn to forgive them? Forgiveness is an ascendancy of consciousness. You are then winning the battle over their negativity by learning to forgive them. It doesn't mean to say that their behavior will be overcome by it. within your morality, you will have won. In the state of morality, in recompense and retribution, you must try to behave with your upper house, with your highest wisdom. Learn not to preserve your wisdom in a little box, but to share it. You owe it to the world. You owe it to all humanity to reveal yourself, your true nature of your upper consciousness, to preserve well-being in all you survey and all who come into contact with you. This, too, will be a part of your pathway to enlightenment. If you really wish to attain enlightenment, do not eat the flesh of others.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Yes, well, what if everybody understood that that people didn't get away with anything, then the eye for an eye wouldn't exist, walls and that sort of thing, retaliation.
Yes, well,
it would be a lot
so.
Easier, wouldn't it?
I suppose so. The problem with many tribes in humanity are that there tend to be power surges, people who are in positions over and above their own charitable status. They actually occupy situations over other people's lives. And this, of course, is a system that will have to be changed. It is not something you can change overnight, but usually it is something which reveals itself by the very nature of what the being themselves creates and how other people around them may see it and view it. So they will know, they will identify that this is a person who has great negativity within them or badness within them, that they understand that this being is not of their welfare. This, of course, is a very difficult situation because so much of the dynamics of your side of life revolves around people's own personal preferences over what they decide in their own judgment to make upon their own life. So many of you are dragged along by the wills of others because they have more power than you. Mm-hmm. Even in your own community, perhaps, you are lessened by the power that others have over you in the laws of the land that have been created there supposedly to safeguard your well-being. For many people, these laws will actually be there to subjugate them, to actually keep them suppressed in some way. They are not laws necessarily of freedom, and I'm not being specific here on purpose because this is such a broad subject. Obviously, naturally, it's something we can tackle at a later date.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But what I'm saying is that what you can do is what you can affect change of in your own life. If you look at the whole world, you will feel that it is an unwieldy task. It is something unmatched for you. You cannot possibly attend to it or attain it because it is too massive a thing for you to grasp. Therefore, if you are beautifully careful within your own world, within your own crime and reason, surely it is better to create well-being within that than try to focus on everything else, which is so difficult a thing for you to manage. Therefore, if you fix and overcome the situations of your immediate surrounding, perhaps to do with your relationships with people that you know in your life, then that surely is a step closer to the journey of you having a beautiful mind, or of you beautifying the place in which you live.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So what do you think of the death penalty?
Well, an eye for an eye seldom works. It does not mean to say that because a certain country has it, or a certain state, or even a certain tribe, or a religious faith or belief, if they have a death penalty for something, has it ever stopped other beings from creating that form of mayhem? Has it ever stopped people from murdering other people? Has it ever stopped the callous ways in which people behave in their daily lives? It has not. Therefore, I cite that it actually creates nothing but further disgrace upon humanity, upon those who purvey it. You are not actually recovering anything. All you are doing is trying to say that it is quite all right for a state, an embodiment, to take a physical life, but not an individual. How does that correlate between justice and your own inner judgment or well-being of self? How can you possibly say that when you have done that, when you have created such a vast failure upon humanity and even upon one individual, that you can then say that you are holding yourself in higher esteem than even the most basest of animals? In fact, the most basest of animals does not have this intention.
No.
It is only human beings which have this will.
So can, say, murderers, people that have taken lives, many lives, I don't know, Hitler, whatever, can they actually become an enlightened being at some point if they worked at it?
Well, my dear friend, it is quite possible for anyone to recover from their physical life. That doesn't mean to say that their actions were any less. They are not condemned to hell, for hell does not exist. They are not driven to heaven in a sleigh, because heaven does not exist either. Those are figments of mind consciousness, material form, that have been dressed into religious understanding or persecution, depending upon which angle you look upon it. It is the driving force behind humanity's face for law and for lawlessness. It is how different structures of society are welded together. And for that matter and for that reason, I suppose it has an element of control. After all, you have to exercise some form of control on your side of life in order for there to be a parity between actions and events and the well-being of the general population. How else are people going to ever feel that they have a form of safety within their own environment if they cannot even trust that what is going to be created upon them by their neighbor, perhaps, is going to be something that will not meet any form of justification by the mass, by the whole of the civilized world in which you live? After all, isn't that what you call yourselves, civilized beings? Therefore, if you are truly civilized, you would not take other life. You would seek to find a way forward for that individual to understand the full weight of what they have unleashed upon their society, upon their own life. It is something they have created themselves, after all. Their own sadness, their own illness, their own well-being cast into shadow. It is surely a better thing that you teach them beauty in their life, then they will actually feel and understand the full worth of what they have failed to achieve. That then surely will be a key to them opening a more successful life.
And who has the ability to look at the Akashic records? Can you see your own Akashic records?
Yes, absolutely so. It is actually a part of what is created. It is a kind of conundrum, I suppose, in how can something be created and yet be seen from an objective point of view as though someone else is turning the pages. Because, in fact, the pages turn not by your hand, not by anyone else's either, but by forces unseen. They turn in front of you as you observe them, as you look upon the pages of your life.
That's a bit Harry Potter, isn't it?
A bit Harry Potter,
yeah,
Ben.
Never mind. Okay. I'll tell you another time.
Very well, yes.
Will probably understand. But that's incredible, isn't it? So they just turn in front of you.
They turn in front of you. And as I say, there is not a force that says, that is above you, that says you must do this or you must do that. It is actually a state that you must acquire certain energies and understanding in order for you to move anywhere at all. Therefore, if you are of a low vibration of what you've created in your physical life, after all, that is what we're saying. If you are of a low vibration, then it means you actually have stifled your ability to create anything.
So, if you were of a lower vibration, you wouldn't be able to access these records? Because you wouldn't understand?
Yes, you would.
You would understand?
You would be able to access your records. They would actually appear before you.
Right.
They will materialize before you. And the page will turn only when understanding has been reached about the page that has been viewed.
Right, okay.
And that is the method of how the next page becomes revealed, because only once you have understood it can the next one come about.
Right. So,
otherwise, of course, if you revoke the page, if you say that is not me,
yes,
and
quite
flee the place, then what will happen is that you will, every time that you try to rebound from your journey, every time that you try to step forward, that page will be revealed again. And revealed again, and again, and again, and again, until you accept your responsibility for it, for your actions. That is how true recompense is created, by the very fields of energy you create within your action of thought or deed.
Mm. Well, that makes a lot more sense now, I think.
Thank you very much.
No, seriously.
And I'm so pleased we have turned on that inner light thing.
Because, I tell you why, because, you know, we're human beings, we only have our mind and our material thoughts of vision and sound and speech. And to say, to put something in that context, it's a lot easier to envisage in our mind.
Yes, I understand. I do understand.
No.
And please, it is not to say that there are not any witnesses to this situation. There are thousands, hundreds of thousands, possibly, to every move that you make in the spirit world once you pass. So therefore, nothing that you do, nothing that you say when you are moving through this path of recompense and reconciliation is going to be something that you can refute later on. It will all be revealed to everyone who observes you, but who does not observe you with judgment. You must understand this. They will be there, in observation perhaps, perhaps to see how you react, perhaps to see how you truly can overcome the poor will you have created.
And is this your soul group you're talking
about?
And
this is within your soul group, within the specific soul group harbor of which you are a part, of which everyone is a part, not of the same one, but of different ones. There are many hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of soul groups because of the huge diversity of humanity as it has become. That is the same for any other breed of animal or species who have become extremely diverse in their characterization and their spiritual ability to move forward beyond their state of poor acquisition, if you like, to become a state of now.
And so when you first go to the spirit world, that's one of the first things that you have to do, isn't it? Is to recount your life in front of your soul group.
Yes, quite so. As I say, they are not obvious witnesses. You don't necessarily see them, even.
Right.
You won't necessarily even see a soul.
Right.
You may be alone in a room, for that is how it is revealed to you. You may feel that you are not even doing that. You may feel that you are just wandering aimlessly on a place of your memory. It depends entirely upon the individual journey and how they themselves have tried to make sense of their physical life, the life they have led.
But nevertheless, you know that that is going to be happening. Do you get told when you go that, I mean, you know, like you get the rules laid out to you, you know, especially if you've been bad?
Well, most certainly, part of what you will do is quite possibly that you will be shown the halls of learning if you wish to acquire a different sense of attitude, if you wish to perhaps present yourself, become a growing being from that which you have attained so far, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, I suppose you could say that in respect of how you view life, how you have viewed life in your physical state, that is something which will be not just revealed to you, but also that you will be able to learn how to continue the progression of your own self-awareness. After all, that is simply how you will identify the energy of your being, of your inner core. By doing that, you will be able to grow from that inner core of life.
We all have the same chances and the same choices, don't we?
Everyone has the same chances and choices. I know that many people would think that is actually an unequal statement. After all, many beings on your side of life do not live in the same environment. Some are more pleasured than others. Some have a better life scale, have a better lifestyle within their own familiarity. Others will be born in poverty and will struggle dreadfully within their lives. Some will even die of starvation, an abject poverty, an illness. That is a marker for all of you on your side of life. That is why you need to not just plant the seeds of courage in your life or virtue, but you must take a hold of the morality you so admire, that you adhere to, and actually project love, well-being, harmony and healing to all of those that you meet. How else is humanity to overcome the negative states they have created? How else are you going to fare in your life if you do not step up and do something about it now?
Well, Gregory, once again, time has beaten us. It's been wonderful.
As it always is. The pleasure is ours, my dear friend. The pleasure is ours. With love and light, as always, upon each and every one of you. your journey is not just a remembrance of what you have done, but in the path that you may take to create inner wellness for your future lies ahead of you. Be well, be thankful, and create love in everything you offer to creation.
Thank you, Gregory. Bye. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and thank you so much for listening, and thank you very much for your calls. I'd just like to mention our website again. It's www.spirit-teaching.com. And if you've been, what was I going to say? Basically, that we've got this show, we've got twice a week, and we've got another show on artistspurs.com on Tuesdays, and the details are on our site. Excuse me, I'm trying to stifle a sneeze. Anyway, my name is Sylvie Avery, and we hope you've enjoyed it. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.